With recent events happening in and around Catholicism of late, such as the ousting and mistreatment of good bishops and the events with Church Militant and Michael Voris, it would be easy for some to lose faith in the Catholic Church and leave it altogether. But I want to encourage people not to leave the Catholic Church no matter what happens, because unfortunately, things are only going to get worse according to prophecy. So we need to recognize the difference between putting our faith in the church, which is putting our faith in Jesus for you Protestants, and putting our faith in the men who run the church or the people who run apostolates that promote the faith. If you came to the realization that Catholicism is the truth through Church Militant and Michael Voris, that's a good thing. The fact that they have failed to live up to the standards they espouse doesn't change that. Michael Voris is a flawed human being, dripping with original sin like the rest of us. And even though his struggles are different from mine, I can throw no stones. And yes, Pope Francis is unjustly going after good bishops, promoting heretics to high positions, and looking the other way with other heretic bishops. And this is just the beginning, as I said. But if he's a bad pope, he's not the first bad pope we've had, though he may be the last. Liberius signed a semi-Arian creed and was the first pope not to be canonized. Pope John XXII imprisoned bishops who disagreed with his heresy that those in heaven do not receive the beatific vision until after the general judgment. The papacy was under the control of powerful Roman families around the turn of the first millennia, many popes having murdered their predecessors to take the office, leading to the pornocracy, where the papacy was controlled by a mother and daughter team who put their adulterous lovers and illegitimate sons on the papal throne. Not to mention the Borgia popes. But God eventually worked all this out. During that tumultuous time at the turn of the first millennia, Europe looked to a monastery in Cluny for spiritual guidance, which eventually led to the establishment of All Souls Day, and the Gregorian reforms, which took the papacy and the bishoprics out of the hands of the nobility and royalty, establishing that the Pope would be elected by the cardinals, and the bishops and cardinals would be appointed by the Pope. It was the first real separation of church and state. But this is my point. At every turn in human history since Christ established it, the Catholic Church has been in crisis. The Jewish leaders tried to eradicate it. Then the Roman Empire tried to stomp it out. And no sooner did Constantine end the persecution, the church was overran with the Arian heresy. Then the Western Empire fell and the church found herself surrounded by barbarians. Fast forward a few hundred years and they're all converted. And even though the church was in charge at that time, it was constantly threatened by Muslims trying to invade Western Europe, only to be miraculously defeated time and again. And the church was even threatened by the very rulers sworn to protect her, like Frederick Barbarossa, the Holy Roman Emperor, and King Henry VIII of England. And of course, there was the French Revolution, Napoleon, on and on. All these worldly powers, the most powerful of their time, set out to destroy the Catholic Church and by all accounts should have. But they're all gone, and the Catholic Church remains. This fact alone has converted people, because there's no way a human organization could have survived this long and endured all that without divine protection. And it will be no different this time. Francis is the Pope, one of 266 that we've had. And in a relatively short time, he will be gone and there will be another. Do you think God can't ordain it so that the conclave will unexpectedly elect an Orthodox Pope who will make the necessary reforms? Someone who, in their eyes, is one of their own, and by all accounts is, but upon taking the papal office, has a radical conversion. Not saying it will happen, but it could, and it has happened before. Or do you think God can't cause the reform to start with the laity, which I believe is already happening, that eventually reaches Rome? I mean, with the Gregorian reforms, you had Cluny, that was it. Everywhere else, the bishops, the monasteries, and especially the papacy were corrupt. But eventually the reform movement of Cluny led to Pope St. Leo IX going through Europe deposing and excommunicating bishops, installing reformed-minded men in their places. I think we could stand for that to happen again, and I believe it will, but in God's time. Those people had to suffer through godless popes and bishops for around 200 years first. Why would anyone leave the church that Christ founded, that he desires all men to belong to because of Francis. Which brings me to my next point, extra ecclesiam nulla salus. Outside of the church, there is no salvation. And make no mistake, the church is the Catholic Church. The Council of Florence puts it this way. The most holy Roman Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that none of those existing outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews and heretics and schismatics, can have a share in eternal life. But they will go into the eternal fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, unless before death they are joined with her, and that so important is the unity of this ecclesiastical body that only those remaining within this unity can profit by the sacraments of the church unto salvation, and they alone can receive eternal recompense for their fasts, their almsgiving, their other works of Christian piety, and the duties of a Christian soldier. No one, let his almsgiving be as great as it may, no one, even if he pour out his blood for the name of Christ, can be saved unless he remains within the bosom of the unity of the Catholic Church. The Second Vatican Council says, hence they could not be saved, who knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it. Now these sound a little contradictory, but in my opinion, Florence is dealing with the objective truth and Vatican II is dealing with the subjective truth. Subjectively, that is, the individual has to have the knowledge to be guilty. But the point is this, leaving the Catholic Church could damn your soul. It's that simple. And attending some other Christian denomination or church will not stop that. I'm not saying it will. Again, you have to have the knowledge, but it could. But even if you do have culpable ignorance, other churches do not have the sacraments to help you save your soul, with the exception of baptism. Christ said, John 6:53 and 54, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Many Protestant churches deny the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist altogether, but even those who profess a belief in the real presence and think they have it don't. Only the Catholic Church and Orthodox churches have proper sacraments. Jesus also said to the apostles, John 20:22 and 23, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Some sins can only be forgiven through the sacrament of confession. Christ established the sacraments as the means of sanctifying grace. Even the Protestants who end up saved are saved through the sacrament of baptism, the only sacrament that can be performed by anyone. The rest require the priesthood, which only the Catholic and Orthodox churches have. And sacraments operate ex apparo apparato, by virtue of the action itself, and are not dependent on the virtue of the priest. The priest could be a very bad man, but when he says the body of Christ, the host becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. When he says the words of absolution, your sins are forgiven. Christ established a sacramental liturgical church. He did not establish the cult of personality. Just because a speaker can work a crowd does not mean he has the Holy Spirit. Many religious leaders, Christian or otherwise, with great speaking abilities, have convinced people to commit murder and suicide. Fog machines, light shows, Christian rock music, inspiring testimonials, and dynamic preaching, while there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, is Christian entertainment, not worship. At least not the worship Christ established. Proper Christian worship is the representation of Christ on the cross, offered to God the Father in the form of bread and wine, not grape juice, through the apostolic priesthood that's only found in the Catholic and Orthodox churches. Okay, so why not orthodoxy? Well, did Christ establish the papacy or not? If he did, you have to stick with it no matter how bad things get. Read Matthew 16:18, read Irenaeus, read Cyprian of Carthage. The answer is yes, and the Orthodox have their own problems. The Orthodox have no process to settle disputes, and they admittedly cannot have another ecumenical council. Yet the early church clearly had these processes in place. The only church that still retains this process is the Catholic Church. and realize that the truth of Catholicism exists outside its human element. If the Pope is bad and all the faithful are living bad lives, what does that have to do with the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady or the existence of purgatory? Doctrines revealed to the Catholic Church by the Holy Spirit and that only the Catholic Church holds as true. And if you say that a bad Pope, even one that professes heresy, disproves papal infallibility, well, then you need to go find out what papal infallibility really means, because that's not true. Look, the Church is working out a few things right now. This has happened many times throughout our history. It's why we have ecumenical councils. It's why popes make declarations to settle disputes. And in these times, two things always happen. There's turmoil in the Church, often for decades, and the Church waits till it's too late to make a definitive statement on the matter. And the two things that I believe are being worked out are, one, if a pope falls into heresy, does he lose his office? If so, when? Who gets to decide? And what is the process if that happens? And two, can the pope change the rites and the liturgy of the Church, or is the Council of Trent and Quo Primum binding on this matter? I think the answer to both of those questions is yes. And I think that fact is obvious, but the Holy Spirit doesn't work through me on these matters. So go to Mass, whether Novus Ordo or TLM, both are valid, receive the Eucharist, go to confession, and pray, especially the Rosary, and let God work all this out. That's how you save your soul. So stay Catholic, my friends, no matter what. Until my next video, God bless.